So we learned in the Navi Yeshaya that all the nations gather, and Hashem says to them, if we would gather all of you, who could provide testimony or proof that they had real prophets the way I did? So this is the pshat reading of the Gemara, of the Pasuk. And there's a famous Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah that understands the Pasuk completely differently. And the Gemara says like this. Our first Mishnah in Tractate of Avodah Zarah discusses that adjacent to the pagan holidays, we don't do business with them, because they're going to say, oh, I got this great deal because of my pagan god. So the pagan holidays are called Eidehem. Eidehem. From the word Eid, testimony. So why is it called Eidehem? Because in this pasuk it says Yitenu Eidehem Veyitzdaku. So the Gemara understands the nations will come and they'll give their testimony, and the idols will come and give testimony. Yitenu Eidehem. The idols will come and give testimony that on these holidays these people worshipped me, and then Hashem will bring them to task over it. Yitnu Eidehem, the Gemara understands at this point, means the idols will give testimony against their worshippers. Yitnu Eidehem
Veitzdaku. How does that make sense?
Wait. The Gemara is going to... The Gemara says... In the end, what's really going to happen? On Judgment Day, the pagans are going to be called in, and they're going to testify against themselves. They're going to have to admit that they worship these idols. So the Gemara says, "Bovdei kochavim k'tiv." Their own testimony will be their will implicate themselves. The Gemara asks, is that pasuk really talking about pagans? Isn't it talking about Jews? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that when a Jew passes from the world, so then in the world to come, his mitzvot come and give testimony about him. The actions, the positive actions we do, they themselves come and give testimony. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi interpreted the pasuk as all the nations will gather. Who can say they've done something like this? The Jewish people will have their mitzvos give testimony to the good deeds they've done. Yishmu, the nations around will hear it. And they'll say, that's true. That's how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi interpreted the pasuk. So the Gemara continues and says a different reason why pagan holidays are called Eidehem. And then the Gemara starts explaining what's going to happen in the future, the atid lavo, whatever that means, sometime in the future, here's what's going to happen. Rav Chanina bar Papa or Rav Samlai said the following agadic explanation: la'atid lavo, in the future, mevi Hakadosh Baruch Hu sefer Torah, Hashem brings a sefer Torah umenicho b'cheiko, and he holds it close to him. Vomer, and he says, lemi she'asakba, whoever dealt in this Torah, yavo v'yitol scharo, let him come get wages. So sometime in the future, Hashem is going to say, whoever dealt in Torah, I want to pay him back, I want to pay him off, let him show up. Miyad mitkapzin uvin of the kochavim birbuvia. So all the nations, they gather in. Every nation has a claim, I did that. Shenemar, that's our pasuk, kol agoyim nikbitzu yachdav. All the nations gathered, so they're all mixed together. Amar lema kadosh boru, Hashem says to them, al tikansu levanai birbuvia. Don't all come in mixed up. Let each nation come in with their scribes. Now the word sofer could mean a scribe, it could also mean their learned people, their sages. That's the continuation of the pasuk. Yasfu leumim. Hashem says, let you gather as nations. En leom el hamalchut. Leom means a kingdom. Yeah.
Would we also come in?
Wait, we'll see. Does Hashem really, does it matter to him if the nations are mixed when they walk in? Why does that matter? Hashem says, I want each nation for themselves to be separate. For them, they're going to be confused if they're not going to be as a united front making their claims. So the first nation to come in, says the Gemara, is Rome. My time, why? Mishum de chashiva, because they're so important. How do we know they're so important? That's the book in Daniel. So that would be the United States today, Russia, I don't know. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's the nation whose values, whose fame has gone out throughout the world. So I guess that's the United States. Internet is in English primarily. You can get a domain name in Hebrew. But bottom line, medicine is written primarily in English. Internet is written in English. So they say the most spoken word in the world is Coca-Cola, I think. I think that's the word that appears in every language. Coming back to our Gemara. So how do we know important people, important nations come in first? So Rav Chisda said, when you have a king and his people, the king walks in first. Importance goes first. It's not only about other things, it's importance. So why do they go in first? Because it's not respectful to leave the king outside. That certainly sounds like the Gemara is giving Rome, or today we might say the United States, the role of king. This would be an argument against isolationism. In Judaism, we view a king as one who's responsible for others. So it sounds like there's a responsibility to the most powerful nation, to the other nations of the world. And others say so that they don't walk in when there's so much anger already going on. So Hashem asks them, what did you guys do? I asked whoever dealt in Torah should come here. What did you guys deal? And they say, Rabon Shalolam, we built many marketplaces. We built many bathhouses. We developed an economy with silver and gold. And all of this we did for the Jews so they could learn Torah. We developed everything for them. So Hashem says, fools of the world, whatever you did for yourself. You made markets because you wanted to have women of ill repute. You made bathhouses because you wanted to take care of yourself. You made gold and silver. It's my gold and silver. I make the economy. So when Hashem says, who can declare this? Mi vahem yagid zot. Who can say this? So we understood it to mean, who can say they've had prophets foretell them? The Gemara understands, mi vahem yagid zot. The word zot is Torah. Zot ha-Torah shesam Moshe. Hashem says to the nations, who can say zot? Who can say Torah? None of you can say Torah, so you're liars. Hashem kicks them out. That's the conversation with Rome. Yeah.
Doesn't it talk about another point where the king goes in first? And I think it's talking about the Jews because that's when God is not angry. He's
right.
Angry.
So I said that too. That's the second answer.
So,
yeah.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing to go on first.
And another thing,
so these Gemaras, the Gemara is going to go on nation after nation, similar conversations. The Persians will say, we built bridges and cities, fought wars so that the Jews can learn Torah. And Hashem says, no, you didn't, you did it for yourself. But here we see an interesting thing. I'm sorry to say, I think that the United States will have a very good claim because they have subsidies, right? They have WIC.
They did it for Damascus. The people voted for that because they wanted
it. I don't know.
But that is the people. If the people voted for it, that
they didn't do it themselves.
Right, but if they give Jews equal rights.
They give everyone equal rights. Everyone wants equal rights.
It's not so recent. It's pretty recent.
But at the end of the day, they got what they accomplished.
Also, it's not over yet. There was a period 20, 30 years ago where the whole idea of nationhood you know, EU was on the down. Now it's back on the rise again.
No, but also
the idea that nations would come.
So the Romans
in America could get a job, and nobody's really.
Okay, but so can in Rome, we can also say, hey,
Rome was a.
We're a nation supposed to know that it's meritorious for the Japanese to give subsidies so Jews can learn. I mean, that's a. Can they have a fair claim? I said, you know, we really didn't know this was in our national interest. This was something that
was
good for us. Are they supposed to know this?
So Tosfos says that the question b'mas aktem is not the way I explained it. I explained it that it goes back to the first question Hashem asked and said, whoever dealt in Torah should come. Tosfos says that the question of what was your dealing is a new question. What were you guys busy with? What were your merits in every generation? Not specifically about Torah. The beginning of the conversation is, who's dealt in Torah? They all show up. So Hashem says, okay, tell me what your merits were throughout the generations. That's how Tosus learns that this is a separate question. But, okay, the Maharal has a piece on this, the Marsha has a piece on this. Everyone discusses what's going on here. Why did the nations think they could trick Hashem? And it could be that the answer is that just like the United States today could claim we developed this whole welfare to help those learning Torah, and Hashem would answer, no, you didn't. You created a social net for yourself. The fact that there's a byproduct that those who learn Torah benefit, that doesn't mean that was why you did it. The Romans could argue, Jews bought in our marketplaces. What do you mean we created marketplaces for illegitimate purposes? Sure, the Jews benefited. We created an economy. Sure, the Jews benefited from it. But you see that Hashem says, no, that was not your intent.
Isn't that a conversation between Rabbi Akiva and Shimon ben Shetach? Or I don't remember who exactly were the rabbis. Whereas one of the rabbis does claim this. He claims that Rome did do this for the betterment of the Jews.
Those are the three people, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know if they meant it was good for the Jews. They discussed how we view this empire.
Right. It seems like there's some legitimacy to the claim. If you have a...
Everyone agrees the Romans developed infrastructure and economy.
Right.
That the question is, how do we view them for doing that?
Balance.
So that in that Gemara and Shabbos, the discussion is, how do we view this empire in general? Do we say, what a wonderful thing, there's law and order. There's in ancient times, we see in Josephus, even the Jews would go to the Roman emperor to rule over them when in the second Beit HaMikdash period and then onward. So that was a discussion back then, how do we view the Roman Empire? Remember, this conversation is taking place a century after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Over here, it's a question of how does Hashem view them? Can they say this is what we've done, this was the reason we did it? And it certainly sounds like they cannot make such claims. And when the Persian Empire falls, and the Persian Empire was partner in rebuilding the second Beit HaMikdash, so then the other empires don't dare say anything.
It's a little easier to understand. You know, what were your values? What did you do to, you know, with your gifts that I gave you? To hold some other nation somehow accountable for, you know, what Jews are doing or allowing Jews specifically to grow in Torah, it seems a little bit of a stretch. Most people, you know, you go to the average person, decent person, not decent person in China, in Lapland, or wherever, even today, you know, it's a bizarre thing to say. How did you structure your society so the Jews could learn? It's not a relevant question to people, it seems. I don't know, maybe, you know,